thank you, God. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing on this earth, God. Nothing to come. Nothing. We are loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, band. We want to welcome you to this very special celebration evening that we have. Special word of welcome to family and friends of those of our body just formally being welcomed here tonight. I want to ask you to please just bear with us. We're going to do things slightly differently tonight. I'm just going to bring a very short word, and then we're going to do the welcoming and the celebration right towards the end. Please forgive me for the sweet that I'm sucking on. This morning I tried to drown the frog in my throat with 6 glasses of water in the morning service. Didn't want to work. He's very resilient. Hopefully this evening won't be necessary for me to go to such extremes. I want to just, for us the congregation, and once again, I apologize for those of you visiting us, just ask you please to bear with us. But we've been speaking to one another for the last couple of weeks about a dream that we are all sharing, and a dream which we are cultivating in our hearts about what would happen to us as a body of believers, as individuals, but also as a corporate group of people coming together on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or on a Wednesday evening when we come together as small groups, or wherever we interact with one another, whether it is when we are studying together or whether we are participating in sports together or working together, what would happen to us if we were completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit? What would happen to us? What would we look like? What would we sound like if we could truly be what God says we are? And we spoke about some of the challenges against that, some of the lies we sometimes believe, and just encourage one another from Romans 8. And the foundation of our life being that we have been saved, there's no condemnation for us, and God believes in us. God says there's nothing that can separate us from His love, and inside of us there's something supernatural. Inside of us there's something greater, much more magnificent, much more resilient, much more powerful than anything in our past, in our present, or in the things that are still to challenge us in years ahead. That irrespective of whatever experience we have been through, whatever our color is, whatever our intellectual capacity is, our family background, that isn't what defines us. What defines us is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That we have the Spirit of God now, not living in a temple made by human hands, but in this temple standing in front of you. And that as you are sitting there, you are sitting next to a miracle in motion. You are sitting next to somebody who has a tremendous calling and destiny upon their lives. And as a fact, you are sitting in the presence of royalty, because God lives in that person next to you, in front of you, and behind you. And we're beginning to speak to one another just about cultivating a culture of celebration. A culture of saying that we come together as a group of believers to celebrate what's inside of me and what's inside of you. A little while later, as we're going to formally welcome some dear friends of ours into this fellowship, I'm just wanting to clarify a few things for us as believers. We're going to make this declaration together. I don't want you to do this in ignorance, so I just want to highlight 2 paragraphs for you, which you're going to read later on. Okay, the first one says, we welcome, this is what you as a congregation will say to the people who will stand in the front when we hand over their certificates, and we welcome them in our midst. We welcome you in the name of Jesus and accept you into this fellowship, committing to love, protect and care for you as our fellow brothers and sisters in the kingdom of our Father in heaven. Today, we enter into a partnership with you in pursuing the divine plan and destiny which God the Father has laid out for each of our lives, individually and for His church universally. Let me just interrupt myself here. Thanks, Darnie, for standing there at the back. I had forgotten. There's a red Nissan Sentra, registration number DYS841MP. If the car does belong to you or somebody you know, thanks, Yochi. You're welcome. Switch the lights off now. Okay, let me get back to the first paragraph. We welcome you. That's what we're going to say and what we're going to declare to one another. It's a phrase we use quite often, welcome. Okay, but what it does mean, the spirit behind it, is that we say to one another that you have come to the right place at the right time. That we believe that you have been handpicked to be here. That God has led you here through His very own Spirit. That you're not here by accident. You didn't fall out of the sky. You weren't a mistake. You didn't just randomly appear here on planet Earth to be alive at a time such as this, but there's a divine destiny behind your very life, your very existence, and we recognize the blueprint and the fingerprints of God upon your life. And when we see it, we stop and we stand amazed. And we roll out the red carpet to you to welcome you into this fellowship, to welcome you in the name of Jesus, that we are basically ambassadors extending to you a word of welcome on behalf of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we extend that word of welcome, we are extending it on behalf of God. We as the body of Christ, we God's representatives. We His mouthpiece here on earth, His hands, His feet, and we extend this welcome towards you in His name, the name of Jesus, the one that has saved us, the one that is a common denominator between us. And we welcome you into this fellowship. And I just want to just highlight that for us. Into this fellowship. What does that mean? What do we welcome these people into? If we do say with such confidence, we welcome you into who we are and what we have. Do we know what we have? And I've just found that so often we just glean over what God has given us. And sometimes it's important just to stand still again. When we talk about this fellowship, we're not speaking about a club. We're not speaking about an organization. We're not speaking about some religious setting where we live in a make-believe land. We are speaking to one another about a fellowship where we cherish a dream in our hearts. Where, amongst other things, we will be able to encourage one another, it's your cue, Michael, with words of knowledge and wisdom. Where we would come together saying, I come to the house of God. I come to my family trusting God for a word, that there's somebody who needs a word from God. And guess what? God is wanting to deliver that word through me. That there's a word of encouragement that He wants to give through me. There's a key that He's placed in my hand that someone's heart in this place needs desperately to find. We would exhort one another to good works with a dream, a vision, or a song, where we would wash each other's feet and lift up weary arms in times of need. Jesus went to heaven. And Jesus can't be here on earth anymore, going around washing people's feet and honoring them. And that's why we are here as the body. Now, that wouldn't necessarily always mean you go and wash people's feet, but it might sometimes mean that. That you do humble yourself in that sense. To go and wash someone's feet is a sign of honoring and of respect and saying that I love you and I'm here to serve you. That I recognize that I'm in the church, not for myself, but I'm here existing for others. That I've been called to give myself away. And that's the paradox of the gospel. That as I give my life, as I give my time, as I give my energy, as I give my prayer, as I give my finances, I can never outgive God. I always get the better end of the deal. We talk about sacrifice, and I do say it often. But sacrifice, in the strictest sense of the word, is where you give up something valuable and you get something else which is less in value. Then you've sacrificed something. The sacrifice is simply, we feel it much more intensely in our emotions. Barry shared with us so beautifully about Abram having to sacrifice Isaac. Had Abram decided to hold on to Isaac, he would only have been the father of Abram. The father of Isaac. He would only have been the father of one nation that would have grown out of that lineage. He would not have been the father of nations. So by choosing to give away his son, you receive many more sons. And I just want to encourage us that when we welcome people, and let's welcome them into an environment, into a spiritual atmosphere where we say, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here to give my life and to basically to die empty. Martin Monroe says so beautifully, said it years ago, one of the saddest places for him is the graveyard. Not because of people who have died, but because of what died with him. Dreams never dreamt, and songs never sung, and poems never written. Stuff, so much stuff caught up inside people and held back because of fear. And we're saying this is not the place to be afraid. Not with the Holy Spirit in our midst. This is the place where we can give and we can grow in giving. We can make mistakes. But the motivation of our hearts will carry us through. Let me quickly get to a biblical definition of what we mean when we speak about fellowship. We welcome you into this fellowship. Fellowship is a relationship of inner unity among believers based upon the shed blood of Jesus. that expresses itself in outer cooperation or co-participation with Christ and one another in accomplishing God's will on earth. That's a mouthful. It's a relationship of inner unity among believers based upon the shared and shed blood of Jesus Christ. The fact that we can be one is based not upon the fact that we agree on everything all the time, because, hey, guess what? We will not agree on everything all the time. But our unity isn't based upon that. There are core values which we hold dear and which we hold sacred. I encourage you, please come to the perspective, of course, to find out what the things are that we believe in very strongly. We believe inalienable to the Word of God. But even if you don't agree on those things with us, and all of them, continue to walk around. We're open for fellowship with you. But the core fundamentals of our lives, those things are in place, and I believe that most of us, we agree on those things. But there are some other technicalities sometimes which we do not agree on, but which does not need to bring division between us, because our unity isn't based on our agreement. It's based upon the fact that in my veins and in your veins courses the same blood. It was shed for us upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And that unites us. That unifies us. That carries us through our times of disagreement and misunderstanding and brings us out stronger on the other end. We say this is a unity within. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says it so beautifully. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So firstly, when we talk about fellowship and when we invite people into this fellowship, we're not inviting them into primarily what I as Heinrich have to give. I'm not inviting them into primarily my own natural abilities, my own natural gifts. That is there. But that isn't the basis of the confidence with which I can, with confidence and boldness, invite and say, come into this fellowship that we have. I'm not basing that upon my determination, my gifts, my talents. I'm basing that upon the fact that I'm in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That I have fellowship with Him. And the fellowship I'm inviting you into is the fellowship that I'm sharing with Jesus. And I'm just inviting you to share with something that I have in my life. And here we go with it. Hey, 5 glasses of water. Amazing. You guys have learned from this morning. God is faithful. And so when we as a congregation, we say, we invite you into this fellowship, I would like us to, once again, just please think of the fellowship that you do have with Jesus Christ. Whenever your fellowship with your brother or your sister is challenged, fall back on the fellowship that you have with Christ. Because that is your source. Guess what, people? In our own strength, we don't have the capacity to maintain fellowship. We don't. That's where we can fall apart and crumble onto the grace of God. That's the place where we can fall apart. This is the place where we didn't have to come with masks, where we didn't have to pretend that everything is okay, when meanwhile back at the ranch I'm falling apart on the inside and I'm doing my utmost just not to lose my mind. This isn't the place where we need to pretend. And that's where small groups come in, where we can be honest and transparent with one another. The wonderful conversation with someone last week said, we were just bumping heads, he said, this Wednesday in our small group. But our relationships came out stronger. There was confrontation, there was a challenge, misunderstanding, emotions flew around, but we came out strong on the other end because we committed to one another. Whatever happens, we will not walk away because of the fellowship that we have with Christ. That word fellowship that Paul speaks about in Corinthians, it's the Greek word koinonia that denotes, amongst other things, intimacy, a shared life and purpose, and a partnership. Intimacy, shared life and purpose, and a partnership. And the beautiful picture that Paul uses in Scripture, we often see that we are in Christ, or Christ is in us. But koinonia speaks about something we have with Christ. A partnership that we have with Him. Where we are not working for Him, but working with Him. We're coming alongside Him. And that's why He said, come and learn from me. Take upon yourself my burden. And He uses the picture of an old ox teaching a younger ox how to plow. Come alongside me and I will carry the weight for you. I will carry the burden for you. And so when we welcome somebody into fellowship with us, we are saying to them, don't, please, whatever you do when you are with us, don't carry your burden by yourself. When we invite somebody into fellowship with us, we are making a commitment and we are saying that we will be there for you and we will carry your burden with you. We will come alongside you and we will pull with you. Makes one think a little bit when we say we welcome you into this fellowship. What does it mean? So fellowship starts within, because why can I say to someone, I'm going to carry a burden with you? Because my burdens are being carried by someone high and strong and more powerful than I. So I've got confidence not in my strength to carry Rieta's burden, or Henny's burden, or Richard's burden, whoever's burden. I've got confidence in the one who's carrying me, that is strong enough to carry the people that I'm inviting with me. That makes sense for you. It's not a reliance, people, upon ourselves. It is reliance upon the resurrection power of God inside of us. Where Paul said that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is able to resurrect your body. In other words, he's able to do whatever you need to do to be the body of Christ. Maybe just very quickly, if we can just switch off the lights. I just want to show you very quickly what fellowship is not.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, did you say something to me, dork?
Ah! Oh.
What a stupid haircut!
Ah!
Oh, you gonna cry like a little sissy?
Oh, that's certainly a mark.
I've never seen a bigger loser.
Oh, oh. Hey, cool haircut. Oh, me?
You need a hand.
Oh, thanks.
Words. They're more powerful than you think. Use them wisely. You're both a couple of dorks.
Whatever.
Okay, that was actually just my water break. Exaggerated scenes, obviously. But one of the areas in which we are challenged the most powerful is in the area of our words. And it's an area that I believe the Lord has just brought us back to towards the end of this year, so that we need to treasure and watch over our words. And treasure one another. And be careful with the words that we use. And have our words build people up. A son in the biblical context is a builder. When God says he has called us his sons, he has called us to build. Yes, we're building on our own lives, but I believe something much more noble than that is to fellowship with other people, to build with others. And I'm here, and I'm passionate about the body of Christ believers, because there were times in my life when I couldn't build, and my hands were weary. And somebody came alongside me and built on my behalf, lifted me up again, walked the extra mile. I'm a firm believer in the power of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say to you that that is our greatest strength. And so when we're going to invite people in, I want us at the same time to make a commitment that with our words, we will build one another up. Literally, in the show, the picture very powerful, what happens when words, you know, we're strong, and we're educated, and we've all heard jokes, and we're good at pretending, and we can hide feelings very easily when a word is spoken that hurts. But I want us to be careful with the way we use our words. To think before we speak. And there's a very good reason, as we've heard so often, why we have received 2 ears and one mouth. To really just make a commitment that here in this fellowship, this will be a place where there's no condemnation and no judgment. We will love one another enough to speak the truth in love, yes, but with respect, with reverence for the Christ inside of you. Brings me to Philippians 2 verse 1. If I have fellowship with Christ, but unity with Him, that fellowship has to flow outward. Read with me very quickly, and we'll be nearing the end now. Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And that is the fellowship into which we welcome brothers and sisters. But this is our motto. This is the blueprint for our lives. And from time to time, we need to come back to this and just evaluate. Is this the way that we are living? Are we esteeming one another highly, higher than ourselves? Are we laying down our lives for our brothers and our sisters? Are we in one accord in the passions of our lives? Romans 12 verse 9 continues this theme and says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And I actually need to unpack this some more, but we don't have time now. But I want you to stick it, go home, write the scriptures down. Go onto the website again if you miss them now. Go and meditate upon them. Evaluate your own attitude and your own approach to the saints around you in this light. Honor. Honor basically just means you put somebody higher than you. Take your desire first. It's a beautiful advert years ago, sometimes still screens on television, the Vodacom ad, that displays the attitude of honoring actually quite beautifully. While this taxi coming from the one side and this guy with a bucky farmer coming from the other side, and they meet each other opposite sides of this bridge, this one-way bridge across the river. Well, years ago, mate, and they come, they're quite aggro, and sitting there, and the guys are all worked up already, and you expect the clash of the titans, you know, just the emotions and the anger that we immediately associate with the characters displayed there. And then the one get out and says, no, you first, and no, you first. And so they go on. Such a beautiful, beautiful spirit of where the world expects us to say, but I was here first. I just saw it the other day. They're driving the one lane and somebody comes down this side and somebody else wanted to just veer over into the other side. And the guy said, just decided, no. There's a gap, but I'm not going to allow you to get it, so I'm going to put the foot down. I'm going to go faster. Another guy goes faster and he goes faster and eventually he's honking of the horns and pointing of the fingers and they weren't pointing to the sun necessarily. All sorts of things taking place. People getting worked up simply because they've lost the capacity to esteem others highly. And then in church, this is the place where things need to be different. This is the place we'll say, you first. Your needs first. And as we do that, we become like Christ. And this is a miracle for me. That in this, God gives us an opportunity to be like Him. It gives us an opportunity in our relationships. You know, it's not in your quiet time, on your knees, or flat in your face. Those things are precious. God changes us. But that isn't where we are most like Christ. It's in our relationships. Because fellowship is primarily a doing word. It's a verb. It's something that manifests from the outside. And so when we welcome people into this fellowship, we are welcoming them into active self-sacrificial love. Acts 2 verse 44 to 47. Second last scripture I want to read for you quickly. Fellowship starts on the inside, flows out to others, and is always the result, true biblical fellowship, always the result of where the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon people, like on the day of Pentecost. Wherever the Holy Spirit is poured out, wherever the Holy Spirit is given free reign, fellowship, self-sacrificial fellowship, is always the natural outflow. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And in these verses, we see more than the practicalities, we see the spirit behind fellowship. Where fellowship isn't saying, how much can I hold back? How little can I give just to meet your need, and how much can I hold back? It's the other way around. We're not asking, you know, how much will be enough for me. When my focus isn't on me, my focus is on others. And where there's a boldness and a self-sacrificial giving that says, I'm not even going to care about my own needs. And in the process, we get set free. In the process, we see God coming through and doing miracles in our midst. And I want to honor and I want to thank you believers. We receive so many emails and phone calls during the year of people just saying, I want to bless so-and-so in my small group. They're going through a tough time. How can I do it? I want to pay for so-and-so's Bible school fees. How can I do it? I want to honor you for that spirit. And I want to say to you, let's continue in that vein. Let's continue to put others' needs in front of us. And I just want to exhort you. And when we welcome people into this fellowship, let's welcome them into this. Saying that what is ours is yours and what is yours is ours. At least in the spirit and the practicalities will work out. Sometimes we think, oh, but the practicalities are too big. So I'm rather not going to get involved because what if somebody abuses or what if somebody goes, there are systems and structures in place and we can sit down and we can talk those things through. But let's not allow fear to hold us back. And I'm going to say to you, if you're part of this fellowship and you are in need and we don't know about that need, there's a sad indictment upon us. And we have failed you because you need to have the confidence to come to us. So we can work things out, we can talk about it, and we can do what we need to do, sell whatever we need to sell, whatever it is. If you're a brother and sister here with us, committed to us, then you are our priority. So please don't walk around with needs that we don't know of. We can't provide if we don't know about them. And if you know of somebody who is in need and you can't provide yourself, please come to us. Okay, let's welcome people into that kind of fellowship. And the last scripture. If fellowship starts with Christ from the inside and flows out to other people around me, and is always empowered and induced and maintained by the Holy Spirit. And fellowship is also more than just brining together every second Sunday, just giving one another high fives or watching a rugby game together from time to time, or going to a monkey dance or whatever it is that you do. Even though that's important. If fellowship is more than just the feelings we share, that there is a purpose to fellowship. That there is a divinity to fellowship that is sacred. Ephesians 3 verse 8 to 11 expounds on this and says, to me the very least of all saints, Paul speaking, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration or the outworking of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold or the many-faceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God, is different character traits and all His beauty and all His splendor of God, Paul is saying, cannot be displayed through one person's gift. That God has ordained it. His power, His holiness, His beauty, His desire to father, to heal and to deliver, to reach out and to walk the extra mile, and to love the unlovable, and to touch the untouchable. The desire and the character qualities of God, He has ordained it to be released and to be manifested through koinonia of believers, fellowship of believers, coming together and saying, my gift, I place at the altar of God's purpose. And that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we're going to pursue the same purpose. We're going to pursue it together. That is simply to live for the glory of God. And that we live to see the church made radiant because not in love simply with the name of a church, because we know that God has said, I have designed and designated the church to house my glory. And the only way the world will see it is through the church. And so you are not doing anybody any favors by not belonging to a church, saint, if that is you. That there is a beauty and a glory and an awesomeness that is lacking in the church because you're not committed. That there's a church out there that has a place for you. You need to find that if you haven't found it yet. Be it Shofar or Doxa or every nation, wonderful, spiritual, God-given churches with a divine mandate in this city of ours. But you need to find that place. Through you, with other believers. God is going to just explode His radiance, permeate the atmosphere around you. But you cannot do that alone. Read verse 10 again. So when we welcome somebody into fellowship, we are welcoming them into purposeful living together. Say, we welcome you into this fellowship where the manifold wisdom of God will now be made known through us to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And for us as a local fellowship, that means passion for Jesus. We're passionate in love with Him. So we do silly things from time to time because people who are in love, they're silly by nature. And you get sillier and sillier as time goes on. We're committed to people to serve. And people is our core business. And what we do is about people and reaching them with the love of Christ. So sometimes we'll do things differently. Sometimes we'll swap things around. Sometimes we will do away with things as long as we can reach people with the love of Christ. We have power of belief, which we believe is the launching pad for our lives. That God has given us faith that can reach out to Him. And we need to live with that conviction in our hearts. All things are possible type of faith. Not just for my own life, but where I'm committed. And I say, I'm committed to your destiny. I'm exercising my faith with you on your behalf. That you will be everything God has called you to be and more. Destiny God has for you, I believe in. And we pursue our common purpose. Simply to reach nations and generations for Him. Every nation. Group of people here now in our midst. Praying, how can we reach a generation of young people next year? How can we reach out? God, you've given us the young people. We're not reaching them. How can we get to them? Some of you have a passion for younger kids, for older people sitting in old age homes. So when we welcome you into fellowship, we are welcoming you into a place of purposeful living. And sometimes we will nag you. We will feel like nagging. We will just hold before you God's destiny for your life, which isn't just to be a pew warmer. Somebody to give expression to the destiny God has placed inside of you, because that is the only time when you'll be really fulfilled. And we desire you to be fulfilled. With that, let me say, whenever we hold before you opportunity to serve, know that you have a free will to say yes or no. It is always your prerogative to say, I'm just stop the bus, I'm too busy leading worship and being small group facilitating kiddies church and Kreisweg and all the other stuff, just give me a break and then we will talk around and we'll give you the break that you need. So never work yourself to death thinking you're going to earn our approval. You're welcome into this fellowship simply because you're a king's kid. Simply because you've been created by God. So I would like us all just to stand. And I want to pray for us as a church and as we're going to make this commitment. We're going to invite people up to the stage. I want to thank you again, especially family and friends. Thanks for just hearing me out. I just want to pray for us when we make this commitment. Let's make a commitment of true fellowship. First, where we say, my fellowship that I extend towards other people directly proportionate to the fellowship that I have with Christ inside my heart. But it's not just going to remain in my heart. It will flow out to others around me. And I will maintain an attitude of humble submission to the Holy Spirit because it's only Him who can empower me to do what I can't do on my own. And then lastly, say that we're going to pursue God's purpose together. Not just fellowship for fellowship's sake. Say, God, let Your name be made glorious in us and through us. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You in the wonderful name of Jesus for this evening. And God, I know that it doesn't, for many of us, God, it doesn't feel too spiritual, but I just, God, are You saying that this is probably the most spiritual evening of anyone that we've had in this year? This is, God, where the rubber meets the road. This is, God, where decisions get made that will impact not just individual lives, Lord God, but legacies and generations to come. Where we exhibit and we display the power of covenant to a world that has grown so cynical, was given up, even on Your church. But sometimes, God, the examples of people walking away from covenant and breaking promises and being in it just for themselves and for the cars they can drive or the tires they can get or the buildings they can be in. Sometimes, Lord God, we're such a sad reflection of who we shouldn't be. But thank You for Your grace with Your church. Thank You, Lord, that You have chosen to invest Your glory inside of us. And we thank You for that privilege and for that honor. We thank You that tonight we can declare as a Shofar family that we are what we are through the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for the many lives that were changed through this year. And as we welcome these people tonight, Lord, each one of them represents a story of breakthrough, a story of miracle upon miracle, of your provision, of your healing, of your guidance. And we give you honor for that tonight, Lord. And we recognize, Lord God, that you are indeed building your church, and we are just honored to be spectators, so to speak, God, but also participants with you, to be in fellowship with you, to be able to work with you. And as we're going to extend our fellowship towards these precious saints, we pray, Lord, that you will keep our fellowship with you vibrant. Lord, our fellowship with them passionate and active. Our submission to the Holy Spirit real and constant. And our purposeful fellowship, Lord God, always at the forefront of our thoughts. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.